So yeah, like FPSs, what can I say? There's nothing like the rush of hunting people down and killing them. I mean, my heart's beating, my hands are shaking, but I'm still shooting, and I'm still getting the headshots, it's like, boom, headshot, boom, headshot, I'm still getting the headshots, it's like, boom, headshot.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to Boom Headshot, your weekly gaming podcast fix. As always, it's the same geek every week. I'm your host, Jordan Thompson, and this is episode number 38, and I'm joined by Jason, a.k.a. the Deep-Seated Geek. How are you, man?
I'm good. Your intro is so much better than mine.
I've practiced it, and I've kind of refined it over a year now that I've been doing this show. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow. It's...
Yeah, hey.
It's hard to believe that it's actually been this long. How long have you been doing your show, out of curiosity?
Just over a year as well.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You, me, and a whole bunch of guys that follow my channel, we're all like this year anniversary space right now, so nice. It's really cool.
Yeah, I think my 1 year was on the 11th of this month.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I think I'm going to have my first guest back on the show at some point soon, because it's been a while, so...
The circle has to be complete.
Yeah. Exactly. I think it's only fair. And for everyone listening, I am so sorry that I have not been posting episodes. I feel like I've been so lazy, but really it's been a series of unfortunate circumstances that have caused no episodes.
And you can tweet your complaints to boomheadshot at twitter.com.
Boom_headshot. HEADSH0T. Nod no. Zero. And tell me how unhappy you are, because I'm sure, you know what, I'm surprised I haven't got tweets going, what the hell's going on, where's the next episode? But there was the PS4 launch, which I wanted to do a podcast for, and that went...
One good thing did come out of it.
Yes, you did. You ended up getting on the show, and I was on your show, and that's awesome. So I'm glad that at least some... connections were made through the show. It's pretty
sweet. Speaking of connections, do you remember exactly what the clincher was for you and me to actually do this? You walked by and I go, man, I have that same shirt.
Oh, that, yes, that's right. What shirt was I wearing? That was the
Game of Thrones 8-bit graphic t-shirt.
Yes, man, T-Fury steals all of my money. That's right, because you had bought it on...
Redbubble,
that's the one, yeah. Oh, man, yeah, no, there was some cool people that came and chatted with me, and we had a good conversation while I was going through the line, but there just wasn't enough content to post an episode out of it. I was going to do an Xbox One launch as well, but the set of people that were going to be going to the Xbox One midnight launch wouldn't have been enough. I mean, the PS4 launch had over 100 people, and I got 3 people to talk to me.
And I wasn't one of them because I didn't know that was the case. I'm so sorry.
For shame, sir. For shame.
I'm sorry. I totally would have done it, though.
No, it's totally cool. And you know what? I understand. A lot of people want to get home and play their shiny new console, which I totally did, too. And once I saw the line kind of going through, I'm like, I kind of want to go home and play my games now. Can I go? But I've committed. Damn it. I was torn internally. And I would have gone and grabbed people from the line, but I wasn't really able to. Yeah. So, I mean, things happen. It is what it is.
Well, you know what you could do? Next time you could just bring like a portable recording device and just go up and down the line before the show starts.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do. And I mean, there seemed like there were some people who were genuinely interested and were like, oh, this is really cool. And there was like, yeah, okay, I'll take your card, I guess. I'm just going to be nice. But whatever. It is what it is. And then last week, I had planned on doing one with... Well, I did do one with Carl Houts from the Game and On podcast. And, well, that was another series of unfortunate events. I recorded the episode, and it only recorded his audio.
You are the moneymaker of this podcast. So
I know. There's no one else that really provides anything as far as content goes. So I haven't been doing my due diligence. And to all of you, I am sorry. But I'm going to throw this out here now. I want more people on the show. If you listen and you haven't been on, let me know. We can talk. I guarantee you. because most of the people I can tell from most of the people that listen to the show are well-rounded people, and we could have a fairly decent conversation, which I'm hoping you and me can. And I think we can, because we've already done it before.
There you go. There you go. That's right.
Because I spent 2.5 hours talking on your show with some other awesome people.
Indeed. And dude, that was such a good time. It honestly was.
I had a blast.
Yeah.
So what are we going to be talking about this week?
Now that this week,
spent enough time talking about me.
Well, that is the moneymaker, like I said. I came up with this idea that every year, every kind of gamer, critic, reviewer, talker, blogger, you know, all of us, you and me,
yeah,
we're totally obviously going to be doing our 2013 Game of the Year extravaganza. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I thought, you know, that's very cool, but we're just going through into a new console generation. So I thought, wouldn't it be cool if we just kind of did a little bit of a retrospect on some of the gaming innovations that have happened in this past generation? Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going to hit on.
Sweet.
And we're also going to hit on one not so innovative thing, but we'll save that as a surprise.
Yeah, because he hasn't even told me. So this is going to be interesting to see what comes of this. And yeah. I mean, maybe we can, depending on how long this chat goes for, maybe we can touch on the PS4 and Xbox One launches a little bit, since I actually haven't done anything on it on the show yet.
Absolutely.
So
you know what? We can even start with that if you want.
Yeah, sure. Why not? So you picked up a
PS4.
And how are you liking it so far?
I'm digging it. There were a few things that weren't right up my alley off the top, but for the most part, it's going to be a decent console when it gets all its fixings on there.
Yeah.
Same can be said for the Xbox One, from what I hear. You know, not everything they promised was there day one. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you look at most consoles, like look at the PS3 now as compared to when it first launched. It's a whole nother monster now.
Absolutely.
You know?
I mean, it bombed when it launched.
Oh, yeah. And it's become a beast since then.
Yeah, it's such an awesome console, and it's well worth the money I've spent into it, because I've bought two of them now.
There you go, me too. I was very impressed, though. You know, when Xbox came out with 360 and everything, there was that whole, like, I think it was somewhere crazy, like 40% would hit the red light of death or whatever,
yeah.
Red ring of death. And so that's just nut bars to me. But the PS3, I mean, I think it was just last year that the original, like, 60 gig day one PS3 just died last year on me.
Mine was a 60 gig day one. I'm looking at it right now because I don't have the heart to get rid of it.
You're going to have it cremated, put in an urn, you know, put a little God of War logo on it.
It's on display like a trophy in our office. And when it happened, I was so distraught, because I'm just like, no, turn on. Why aren't you turning on?
Come back, Shane. Come back.
Pretty much. And I was so heartbroken, mostly because of the fact that the last game I got to play on it was MLB 09.
Oh,
that I bought as a bargain from work because it was 96 cents. I'm like, sure, we'll try it out. And it crapped out on me. I'm like, no.
Why? I got that beat.
Oh?
I got that beat.
Okay.
Here's what happened to me, okay? I bought Mass Effect 3. I had my game saves, like two game saves from Mass Effect 2 that I was going to carry over.
Oh, no.
I popped the disc in. I'm like, yes, there's my Shepard. Let's do this. I'm going to get my romance on. And an hour into it, now it died.
Oh, no.
All my game saves were erased.
Oh, that is tragic. That is far worse than having it die on MLB.
But you know what? There was a good little thing that happened because of it.
Hmm.
Because of it, when I went out and bought the replacement PS3, I didn't have the patience or like just anything to kind of get through the game.
Yeah.
So while I was waiting to do all that kind of stuff, I went out and I ordered a custom gaming PC, because Ooh. That's what you do.
Yeah, I mean, one thing dies, you go and spend more money, clearly. I mean,
exactly.
I can attest to that.
Exactly.
It's how you feel better.
Yep. And so I went back to the beginning, did a whole new Mass Effect 1, 2, 3, and
nice.
Yeah. So good things come about.
Yeah, this is very true. And what's sad for me is mine only died about 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, it was funny because not weeks prior, I was telling people, like, yeah, I can't wait for the PS4. My PS3's lasted me the whole generation. It's going to make it till the PS4 comes out. And if it dies after that, yeah, so be it. It's no big deal.
You jinxed it.
I totally jinxed it. And then I had to go and spend I spent $200 on a new PS3.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, most people would be like, why would you do that? You're going to get a PS4. I'm like, I can't go 3 months without gaming. And a Wii, I'm sorry, as much as I like it, doesn't cut it.
Yeah, for sure.
And my PC sucks, so.
Aw.
Yeah, that's one thing I want to look at, getting a new rig next year. And that way I can play some Titanfall.
It's worth it. I don't know about Titanfall, but just having the PC, that's a beast. Oh my god.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, so PS4 is lots of fun. I've heard good things about the Xbox One. I mean, I don't know if it's selling super well, but I mean, I got people coming to my work looking for it all the time, and I want to play Killer Instinct really badly.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, that game looks awesome.
Cool, cool, cool. Well, I think it's one of the ones that had better reviews, at least. Yeah.
I think a lot of people were getting on like Forza for the microtransactions.
Oh, what's the deal there?
Buy cars and get to use them.
Do they have them like restricted or something like that? Or?
I don't think so. Oh, okay. Because I was watching a Boogie2988 video, and it was one of his Francis ones.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going on his rant about how he can spend money on the game, and then he can spend more money just to unlock the cars so that he doesn't have to unlock them by playing the game.
Oh, one of those. Okay.
Yeah, which is not cool. I think if you're going to do microtransactions, you got to limit it so that it doesn't affect gameplay.
Yeah.
Whereas you could buy the car, but you still have to actually unlock it or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's just my opinion on it. Who knows?
And it's a good one.
Well, I'm glad. I hope other people agree. But, I totally forgot about the new releases this week.
No, you didn't. You just remembered them.
Ah, yes, I did. Yeah, I see what you did there.
See, I got your back.
See, I like having you around. You're already making this better for me. You're making me look better. All right, so before we jump into the topic, we'll go over the new releases for this week. For PC, we've got Professional Farmer 2014, which is a $20 download. And we've got, for the PlayStation 4, we've got Flow, so anyone who owned that for the PS3 will get a free copy to download, just like Flower, on their PS4 and their Vita. What else do we have? Tiny Brains for the PS4. We've got Air Conflicts Vietnam for the 360 and PS3. We've got Oddworld Abe's Box, which is just another PlayStation 1 classic. Painkiller, Hell and Damnation, Saint Seiya, Brave Soldiers, and Super Motherload are the PS3 ones. And anything else of note?
Well, I can think of one.
Oh?
Well, since you didn't have a podcast going on for the last few weeks or so.
Oh, God. Everything that came out for PS4 and Xbox One?
Well, true, but one in particular that we kind of touched on my show, which was Super Mario 3D World.
Ah, yes. You're a fan of the way this game is being perceived already, are you not?
No, that wasn't the issue. I got nothing against Mario. I think but that's one of the few games that are still kicking around that still innovates every time they come out, you know? Mm. So I give them props for that. But I did have an issue that the big, fancy VGA Awards nominated it for a Game of the Year.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even released.
Yeah, that's not very cool. I mean, how can you judge the merits of a game when like you were saying, the public hasn't even had a chance to play it?
Exactly. So, and if they did something like a public vote-in kind of thing to award this game, I mean, if they haven't played it, why would they vote for it? And maybe it is the game of the year above everything else, but if nobody's played it, it won't get the votes that it should, you know?
Yeah. It needs its fair amount of time, and I think that's why when they do these Game of the Year awards, they usually have a certain cutoff time that a game has to be released by for it to be considered, just because otherwise it doesn't get enough time to get into the public's hands and get the exposure it needs.
Yeah, and to be honest, I look at that and I just go, okay, I see what they're doing. They needed to have a Nintendo ballot in there, you know, because everything else was just PS3, Xbox, or PC, and it was just dominated by those guys.
Yeah, and so, I mean, for good reason. It was a lot of good content that came out from them this year, or on those systems, I should say.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine who works at our local EB Games in the Polo Park store, and she was saying that she just finished Super Mario 3D World, and she said it was pretty easy. It was fun, but it wasn't as impressive as she was hoping it would be.
Yeah, you can only go so far with a cat suit.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what she said. Boom!
Oh, we're off to a good start. It was a good choice having you on.
Thank you. If I was really smart, I would have said, boom, headshot.
This is true. Well, that's at the end. Everyone always does that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, when I outro the show, now I've spoiled it, because maybe you would have done it, but every time I outro the show and I finish off, they're like, and done. They're like, boom, headshot.
You know, truth be told, I've had like five viewers on my YouTube channel there that say I look like the dude who created the meme.
Oh, yeah, so you totally you look like with FPS
the tagline, and here's me that looks like the dude, you know, just this was meant to be, man.
Yeah, you totally, you could pull off FPS Doug for like Halloween or something.
I could. I pulled off Heisenberg this year, but you know.
I saw that. That was awesome.
Yeah. I think next year I'll be Mr. Clean.
Yeah, sorry. I got distracted. My other half came in. She's like, I'm leaving. I'm like, bye.
And what your listeners don't see is that I have you on camera, so I saw you blow a little cutie kiss to her.
I know. I'm so adorable. Oh, God.
Oh, Jordan, he's so sweet, that guy.
So cute. Good God. All right, I need alcohol now. Where's the beer? so why don't we jump into this week's topic?
All right, let's rock and roll.
So I'm going to let you kick this one off because, I mean, you've already got some stuff planned out, so I want to get your thoughts and kind of run from there.
Cool, cool, cool. The idea kind of just struck me like, man, there's been so many things just in this last year alone that just blow my mind, like with technologies and all these things kind of coming out in the woodwork, and not just in video games, but in general. There's been so many crazy things. Like, for an example, somebody out there had the brilliant idea to create a fake plant that was actually an energy source. So instead of a plant giving off oxygen, it gives off, what was it, nitrogen or something? I don't know.
I think so. I remember hearing about this, though. I was reading this article.
So in desert kind of land and everything like that, you could plant these guys. They can sustain themselves in, like, inhospitable environments, and they give off enough energy that you could, like, power things from it.
Which is amazing. I mean,
yeah. Totally crazy stuff. So then I scaled back into my world, and I wanted to see, okay, well, what are some big innovations that have happened in the gaming world? Mm-hmm. Now, going from, like, way back, like, to the old school where it was just, like, 8-bit graphics and that was it, like, our Nintendo kind of world, you know, we had things like where Sony would, like, push the market where they started off with CD-ROM, then DVD-ROM, and Blu-ray. You know, if it wasn't for those guys kind of pushing that thing, maybe those markets wouldn't have boomed in video and all that.
Well, exactly. I mean, we may have been in a world where HD DVD would have been the thing.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And it's funny. I remember when I used to work at, I don't know if you are aware of it, CD Plus. Do you remember them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I used to work at CD Plus. For anyone listening, it's a local music movie shop that we had in Winnipeg. And I remember when Blu-ray started coming in and there was the HD DVD Blu-ray war. And I started buying Blu-rays and everyone's like, you're dumb. Blu-rays are going to be extinct in a matter of time. And I'm like, nope, just watch. Blu-rays are the better buy. Yep. And sure enough, I mean, as soon as Sony launched their console with the Blu-ray player, I mean, I think that was at the time one of the cheaper Blu-ray players on the market, considering I think they were all around the $1,000 range.
Yep.
So that was your cheapest entry-level Blu-ray player, plus you got a console.
Mm-hmm.
Now, given spending that $700 may not have been the best decision, but it lasted me until 3 months ago, so it totally was.
Yeah, for sure. And with everything that kind of came out of it, I mean, like, just with, like, updates, you had 3D going through that thing. You had the internet coming in as well. Mm-hmm. You had, like, all these apps that you can, like, do, you know. And what's probably going to be the next distribution, digital. you can download games over the internet, like, in relatively quick time, you know?
Well, yeah, exactly. And, I mean, even the installs for some of these games, freaking Call of Duty Ghosts is 33 gigs, and it installed in the matter of 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That, from one console to another, blows me away that that's actually possible.
Oh, yeah. And it's a relatively small time frame, too, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, if you sit down and think about it, going from, like, the original PlayStation 1, which was, like, around, what, 97, 98, I think?
Had to have been 97, because that was the year FF7 came out.
There you
go. No, it was probably 96. 95, 96.
Okay. So, yeah, just in that short period of time, look how far we've come from, like, having a three-disc 700 megs on each one,
mm-hmm.
to we can have a 30-gigabyte game, like, out of nothing.
Yeah.
You know? We just get it out of the vaporware kind of thing. Not vaporware, excuse me. Whatever. You know what I mean.
Exactly.
I'm high on Pepsi. Give me a break.
I should have gotten a beverage. Oh, well. I don't have anything good to drink right now. That's okay. Trip to Shoppers after.
There you go. So we have, like, the digital formats and the way that's changed and innovated over the years. And mm-hmm. because of that, you get more innovative content because there's more free range for all the developers to kind of work with.
Yep.
And speaking of digital, Valve came up with Steam.
Yeah. I remember when the Steam platform originally came out, and not a lot of people liked it.
Well, I think that had a lot to do with, like, the whole PC gamer kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And everybody kind of held on to, like, their physical media, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And all that is kind of going by the wayside now.
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at retailers, and where do you find, what kind of PC games do you find physically in retail stores? You find your Blizzard titles.
Mm-hmm.
You find your big EA titles, and I mean, there's not a lot else that you'll actually find. Most of it, most people that I know who use anything through Steam, it's all digital purchases.
Yep.
Because,
and if you actually went to a store to try and find, like, the CD boxes for, like, the games and everything, you have to be led by, like, a mule and a dude with a torch, you know, down the way, so you can find, like, the dusty one shelf that holds, like, maybe 15 games, you know. It doesn't happen anymore.
I generally go to my friend the Gaming Sherpa. He takes me on long journeys, and and sometimes arduous to get to the destination, but when you do, it's a holy grail of amazingness.
You have to sacrifice a noob to get in the door.
Yeah, but, you know, some sacrifices are well worth it.
Yeah. And then, of course, just another thing was the jump from the 2D pixelated kind of graphics that we have to 3D, and how far that has gone. We're damn near past the uncanny valley kind of stuff, you know? Like,
oh, yeah.
When they did that Final Fantasy movie, where it was all CGI and people got freaked out because it looked way too real.
Yeah.
And we look at it now and we're like, oh my God, that looks like a freaking mannequin talking.
It's awful. They're like spirits within. Ew, no. Mm-hmm. But then you pop in something like NBA 2K14, you're like, wow, that looks like LeBron James.
Yep.
Exactly. And it's amazing the level of detail you can get into in, I mean, okay, so we're saying 95, 96, that's almost 20 years?
Yep.
That's not a lot of time, all things considering.
No, exactly. I mean, you look at other mediums, like you look at television, you look at film, mm-hmm. and their jumps. We are, like, on rails with how fast we are advancing our gaming culture, you know,
yeah.
and the way things are done. You know, it's insane.
Technology in general. I mean, you look at how quickly 3D printers are coming into their own territory, and... Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think what's, I mean, there's one that I'm trying to think of and it's not coming to me.
Robot slaves?
Probably.
Okay.
that's probably what it is. Robot slaves are in the near future, and then we're going to get into the iRobot scenarios, and it'll be all kinds of good fun.
Sweet.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. I love how off topic I get in this show.
Oh, exactly, right?
So much fun.
You got to. Exactly. That's the entertainment value.
I don't like scripts. Screw scripts. Where we're going, we don't need roads or scripts.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, so that's the old school stuff. But just in this last generation alone, you and I have some topics that we're going to bounce off here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the big one for me, because the kind of gamer I am, I jump into something and I want to be entertained and drawn in by the story. You know, I've never been, and this is no offense to any of your listeners or yourself if it's the case, but I've never been a multiplayer Call of Duty Battlefield kind of dude, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, everyone's got their thing that they enjoy playing. I don't want to say niche because it's not the proper term, but everyone likes what they like.
Yeah, exactly. Some people go into a video game and they want the competitive nature or they want to have a little bit of a challenge. Mm-hmm. Me, it's like reading a good book. You know, that's how I kind of view games.
I mean, for me, I like to be all over the place. Sometimes I do like to go in and play my Call of Duties, but other times I want to get immersed in this amazingly vast world and just lose my day and really kind of relax with it.
Yeah. So for me, the big innovation that stood out for me was storytelling and how we've kind of innovated that kind of medium within video games as compared to film, television, and fiction and nonfiction, you know?
Yeah. I mean, perfect example, like Walking Dead.
Yes.
That is a game that does not need much gameplay to get by, but good God, does it tell an amazing story.
Mm-hmm. And that's the kicker of it. It tells an amazing story, but it can be a different story for every individual that plays it. Mm-hmm. You know, like we did it on my show. Sorry to plug my own stuff.
No, plug away by all means.
If you're watching YouTube ever, you should check out Deep Seated Geek. It's worth a look. I don't know why I'm talking like this.
I like that voice. You should totally use that.
I creep myself out.
I may have to get you to do like a promotion for me with that voice because that sounds awesome.
Oh man, you just gotta let the puberty kind of hit in. So anyway, but Walking Dead is a perfect example because we did a game of the month show where we did a 2-hour discussion, just like a book club, you know, but we did it for video games.
I like and that. The Walking, That's cool.
Yeah, and it was so much fun. And Walking Dead was our first one, and we had four guys, and each of us had a different outcome. Each of us had different experiences. And we all played the same damn game, you know?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's got its single linear narrative, but the branching of the whole narrative that you can take, the different pathways you can go down are unlimited.
Yeah. I mean, I'd kind of looked it up just because I feel it's one of those games that I wanted to come back to after I'd finished it. And once I'd dried all the tears that I've wept.
Yeah.
Because, I don't want to spoil anything, but tears will be shed if you have any form of soul.
In every single episode of that season, it's just, wah.
Yeah.
And we are talking about the game, not the TV show.
Yes. Yeah. And just seeing some of the possible outcomes to see that maybe you can end up by yourself or maybe you can end up with everyone. And to have that kind of a dynamic, I think really is impressive, to say the least.
Exactly. And that's something that's really coming to the forefront now is this branching kind of narrative like The Walking Dead. Mass Effect is a good example.
Yeah.
You know, it's got its one story that's going on all the time. Mm-hmm. But with the different companions that you have, the different gender that you pick, everything changes. And we talked about this before with the Mass Effect save. But I did this challenge for myself. I went out, first of all, playing as a male shepherd.
Okay. I was going to ask, did you play male shepherd or female shepherd?
The first time around, it was male shepherd on the PS3 and the Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. But when I switched over to PC, I did femme shepherd.
Okay.
1,000 times better than male shepherd, I have to say.
A lot of people say that femme shepherd is true shepherd.
Yes, I would have to agree with that. Because just the interactions that you have with your comrades, they feel more real.
Really?
Whether that's due to Jennifer Hale and her voice acting, or if it's just the way they scripted it, up in the air. But all I know is that I had a way better time, and I felt more connected to the characters in that video game through Femme Shepherd. But that, again, just like Walking Dead, you could be a jerk to all your friends, and it'll have a different way they perceive you down the road, as well as everybody around you. You could be total, like, lawful good, and it'll have a whole different effect on the whole thing, you know? Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I loved at the end of that game, without spoiling anything, is the, I don't know if you caught it, but at the end it was after that final scene and you're talking to a certain character, it says this character will remember.
Oh, in Walking Dead, yes.
Yeah, that, because you're like, wait, if they remember, what's going to happen? That means there's more. Mm-hmm. How is that going to translate? And I'm kind of jumping all over the place here, but I love games that give the save, give you one save, and it transfers to the next game and to the next game. I there's something really exciting about that for me.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Or where you, oh, what game was it that I was playing? Oh, Knights of the Old Republic.
That Yeah.
After you've beaten the first one, you start playing the second one. It's quite a while later, but it makes references to the first one. And I remember when I was playing it, I was sitting there going, oh, I remember that. I did that.
Yeah.
And you get so excited. And I haven't actually had that kind of an experience in a long time, which makes me sad.
Yeah.
But.
Well, there's that kind of experience. I mean, and let's be honest, like, people are jumping on the bandwagon for that kind of narrative nowadays where they're like, oh, it has to have multiple endings, like Heavy Rain, where they had like 21, 22 different endings, you know?
Good luck trophy hunting in that game.
Oh, I did.
Did you?
I got the freaking platinum.
Oh, I salute you.
Well, let's be honest. I just wanted to see if that one girl would get naked again, but you know.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, I'm not above my digital boobs, people. I'm sorry.
Nakedness, man. It gets guys every time.
It's the bane of our existence. But, I mean, that's one style of narrative that's very popular. Another is this idea that we are the story creators with games like DayZ or Minecraft. Mm-hmm. There is no written narrative. The narrative is the game that you create with yourself, with your friends, while you're there, you know?
Yeah.
And that's an incredible thing because you have very emotional games like your Heavy Rain, like Beyond Two Souls, like, well, anything that just grabs you. Walking Dead, you know, this stuff grips you and you talk about it for probably the rest of your gaming life, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Walking Dead was almost over a year ago and I still give that game such high praise.
Oh, exactly. And then you have it right next to like, oh my God, this one time we were in the Nether Realm trying to find the Nether Dragon, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And this guy fell and he died and we lost all our stuff and we had to go back. I mean, that's just as engrossing as everything that's been scripted in games. You know?
Yeah, it almost gives you that kind of Lego as a child thing. It's all left to your imagination. What kind of world do you want to bring to this game?
And not Jordan.
What kind of game... what kind of world the game brings to you.
Jordan, what? Any chance to bring Lego up in a conversation?
Yes. Hey, man, Lego is awesome, and I am proud to say that last year my girlfriend got Lego for Christmas.
That is, your girlfriend is wicked awesome cool.
Yeah, a friend of hers got it for her, and I was like, Lego? That's fantastic.
You ever seen that shirt where it's, or that meme where it's Nathan Fillion, and he says, hey, babe, you, me, Legos, date night. Wear the panties with the little red rockets. It's the best meme I've ever seen.
I need to see that, but Nathan Fillion could totally pull that off.
Oh, yeah, guys or girls, he could pull that off. Jesus.
Yeah, pretty much. Sorry, what kind of panties again? Yeah, okay, I'm in.
Sure, Nathan, I'll do whatever you want, man.
All right, Captain Hammer, you got it. You got it. But then we realized that we have no creativity with Lego, and it's not as fun.
Yeah, everything just becomes phallic.
It's like, wait. Actually, it was funny. Not directly related.
I hope not.
But when me and my girlfriend moved into an apartment, however long ago it was, we had the Lego, and we had our housewarming party. And we had a bunch of people over. She was getting a little bit tipsy. She's like, I got Lego. And she pours it out on the floor. And I was actually in our spare room DJing at the time for the party. And I come out and I'm like, what the hell is going? Are you guys building Lego? And my buddy's like, I got a sword. And it was so ridiculous. But put a bunch of 20-somethings in front of Lego and fun things will happen.
You're going to have a good time no matter what, yeah.
Exactly. If you have Lego at a party, you're going to have a good time.
Exactly.
What were we talking about?
Video games, I think. We'll try and bring it back around.
I guess so, yeah. Lego Marvel, yeah.
There it is. Oh. People, if you're listening to this now, you should definitely stick around till the end of the show for one thing. But afterwards, go play some Lego Marvels. Do yourself some good.
Yeah. Or, you know, play Lego. No, don't play Lego Marvels while you're listening, because Lego Marvels actually has a story. Damn.
Okay, we're trying to come up with the story here.
Yeah, something. There's something cohesive happening here. There's video games, so there's that.
Well, then let's segue into the next topic, which is the idea of immersion. Huh? See?
Bring it around.
So yeah, the idea of gaming immersion has just gone like banana pancakes awesome this year, okay?
Banana pancakes.
Somebody said that to me once. I told them right to their face, dude, I am stealing that and I'm saying it's my own line. So I'm making good use of it.
Do it.
But yeah, so the way we've been immersed in our game has changed from just the controller to the motion controllers, either with the Wii or the Move.
Or even worse, that is the Move. Never mind, Kinect. That was the other one. Yeah, no.
There
Move
you go.
Is the worst out of the three.
Yep. So there's the Kinect. We got the Oculus Rift that's going to be coming out pretty damn soon.
Yeah, I mean, and, you can see, I've been watching guys like PewDiePie use the Oculus Rift, and I'm sure people are going to rip on me for watching PewDiePie, but honestly, when I'm about to, like, I'm in bed and I'm bored, it's like, all right, I'm going to throw on some PewDiePie and then I'm going to fall asleep.
Yeah.
Like a charm, I'm out every time.
Yeah. And you know what? I have a lot of people, like, through the YouTube thing, they kind of rag on him a bit, but you know what? I say the dude is filming himself, enjoying himself, playing video games, and he is the number one YouTuber that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that a gamer is YouTube's number one channel, I think that's just doing us a world of good. You may not like his content, but I like what the guy is doing for our genre.
Yeah, I think there has to be a level of respect for him, because, I mean, I totally have had a lot of people who rip on him, and it's like, I actually ended up watching his Draw My Life, and it's like, it's kind of cool to see that, and really get a more personal, see a personal side of him as opposed to just the one that plays games.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. Cool.
But we're all human inside.
Some of us are. I don't know. There's others I know that I would... maybe.
Should I leave? Or...
No, we're good. Let's okay. So, video games, yeah.
Hey, there it is.
Immersion.
Yeah, so... And I was going to bring up the idea that... Okay, so Steam just came out not too long ago with their controller, which is all haptic sensor instead of analog sticks.
Yeah.
And that hit me. I was like, holy crap. Okay, you've got the Oculus Rift, which is going to put your head, your sensory, what the fancier word than I just came out with, your peripherals and your entire vision is going to be immersed into the world instead of a screen. I have to see it to believe it, but I want to believe that's exactly how it's going to feel. You get something with haptic sensory, which is just touch sensation going on, okay? You get a headset that there are all the rage now where it's like 7.1 Astros, whatever. And if you had something that could control temperature or like smells or something in the room, dude, it's like this book Ready Player One come to life. Have you ever read that book?
No.
Ready Player One, Ernest Cline. Tell your listeners. Well, I'm telling them now.
Tell them right now.
Ernest Cline wrote a book called Ready Player One. It's pretty much the holy bible of fiction for gamers and geeks all over the place. It's set in a futuristic world where essentially imagine a World of Warcraft multi, like MMO kind of world where the entire internet, everything has just been sucked into this thing. Everybody's plugging themselves into this whole thing. Nobody goes to public schools anymore. It's all online. Nobody goes out for shopping. It's all online.
Oh, wow.
Nobody does anything because your avatars in the world are you now. So they have things like where the gloves are all sensory kind of stuff. You have pads all over you where you can feel impact shots, like smell things in the corner. So it smells like roses when you walk through roses, blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
And I'm just looking at all the innovation stuff that we've got going now with your motion control, your cameras, your optics, your haptic sensory kind of stuff. And we're not going to be too far away from that.
No, I mean, immediately I think of the anime... oh, come on. Why is it escaping me now? Sword Art Online. Where, I mean, it's kind of a situation where all of these kids pick up this MMO and they have this kind of a headset that sucks them right into the world and they're actually locked in there. But it's... it really isn't that far off. I mean,
no, and people think, well, no one would give up their entire self just to be in this video game thing. But hey, look at how many people are on their phones more than they're talking face to face nowadays.
Yeah, and more people who are texting on their phones than making phone calls on their phones.
Exactly. So if you could do all that within a gaming world kind of thing and have everything at your fingertips, literally,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not too far away. It's kind of scary to say it that way.
It is, and it was something that me and Gabe from Married to the Games were talking about when he was here, is there was some other, besides the Oculus Rift, I can't remember what the other one was called, but it was basically, it was a treadmill kind of design.
Oh, yeah, the multi-directional treadmill pad thing.
Yeah, so yeah. You stick that with an Oculus Rift, with a headset, and mm-hmm. like maybe you do have that kind of scent thing that you're talking about. I mean, you're pretty much there.
Yep.
I mean,
there was a video right around the time that the Kinect was coming out where they tried to I think it was like on some British channel where they're just like, let's go balls out and just create the most immersive gaming experience ever anybody's ever seen. And they had like a tent with a 360-degree kind of screen.
Oh, wow.
They had, I think it was like VR goggles, I believe. Well, no, because they had the screen. They didn't need the VR goggles. Mm-hmm. But they had Kinect everywhere. They had paint gun balls, so if you got shot, it would hit you.
Oh, wow.
They had a multi-directional treadmill going on. They had an actual gun replica that had the iPhone or an iPad kind of using like the touch interface to kind of do the triggers and everything. It was just like $10,000 worth of gaming god kind of stuff.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
But I'd love to see that. If you find the link for that, let me shoot that my way, because I would love to watch that.
For sure.
But then it begs the question, where does it stop? Or does it? Do we just keep going into this level of immersion where we're so sucked into this kind of alternate reality that we lose track of what is reality? When does it become the Matrix?
Did we take the blue pill or the red pill?
Exactly. And it totally feels like that. It's kind of scary. I mean, it's cool, but it's scary.
Dude, we're geeks. Why did we get all head trippy all of a sudden?
I don't know.
I'll take the hit for that one.
Where are we? Am I alive? Oh, hey, Songbird. But no, I mean, it's totally a reasonable question, is where does it end?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, yeah, for a level of immersion like that, I don't know if I could let myself get into something like that. I don't know if that's me being just scared of it or too much. I don't know.
For me, I would say that it's just not my bag, mm-hmm. you know, like I am a very tactile kind of guy, like the controller thing, I've grown up with that, you know, so that is my bread and butter. I want to have those buttons and everything there, you know, you do the Kinect thing, that's, I get how it's immersing you in the game, but for me, a game is controller and screen and there you go, you know.
The only time Kinect has a place is if it's dancing.
Well, you know what? I would argue that Kinect has no place in gaming. You know what I mean? I've seen a lot of technologies, especially with computer developers, that have done some amazing things with virtual reality kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think if we had... Well, they do have it out for grabs for any kind of computer development kind of team to kind of use the open source of the Kinect to do their own thing. And you use things like the Oculus Rift. You can't tell me that, like... It wouldn't be more beneficial for, say, a surgeon to have an Oculus Rift kind of deal going on instead of looking over at a screen, you know?
Yeah.
You can literally turn your head and look all around what's going on whatever camera you're using there, you know? I just find that a lot of these technologies are wasted on the wrong people or the wrong group, mm-hmm. so to speak, you know?
Where it doesn't get its full... its exposure isn't...
It's use.
Its potential isn't fully realized.
Yeah.
Totally. Although, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of excited to eventually pick up Just Dance 2014 and play it on PS4 because I don't need the stupid Move piece of shit.
Oh, that would be horrible.
Here's the thing. I was looking, I popped open a copy and I was looking at the manual. It's like, Move wands, optional. Why? Why would I ever want to pick up those stupid things again?
Yeah.
That fucking pit of money.
You know, I'll be honest. The only time I came close to purchasing a Kinect was when they announced the Michael Jackson Experience. Dude, I won't lie.
Pre-order with the glove, man.
Oh, screw the glove. I wanted to know how to moonwalk, man. Yeah. And if the Kinect could help me do that, dude, I'm sold. Lean. Yeah, oh my god, if I could do that lean.
That would be so much fun. But I don't know, I think there are certain games that make good use of it for party scenarios, but on a day-to-day gaming basis, no. I mean, my camera that I bought for my PS4 has been used once, maybe twice.
Yeah.
It hasn't found its place yet, and I'll probably assume that it won't find much of a place, but I wanted to have it.
Yeah.
I mean,
let's be brutally honest. I mean, they've just come out with their second iteration of the Kinect, and they still don't have a game that makes it worthwhile.
No.
You know, so that's saying that, you know what, maybe you guys aren't the people to have this technology. Maybe you should put it in more capable hands for now.
Mm-hmm. And not make me buy a console with it.
Yes, exactly.
I'm sorry if that upsets people, but it really shouldn't be necessary.
No. I mean, once they said you don't have to connect it, that should have been game over, guys. Just accept defeat on your, you know, time investment and everything like that, and just give the gamers what they want, the console and the games, man.
You should have either made it a separate accessory or made it two different bundles.
Yeah, or sold us on why it's so important. You know?
Yeah.
But we're getting negative.
Yeah, no, I don't want it to be bash Xbox One. I like the concept of Xbox One. I think it has its place. But there's key things that I think were not implemented properly.
Yeah. And let's clarify this once and for all. Whatever we say that's negative about Xbox, it's about the company. The gamers, you guys are amazing. I have not met an Xbox gamer that isn't just like rainbow shooting out their arsehole. You know, they're amazing people.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to find a negative person no matter what platform you search for. It's where you find them. And I mean, doing this podcast, I've found amazing people. There's not been one person I've had on my show that isn't awesome in every way.
Till I got here.
Then you came and fucked up the cycle. God damn it. No, I'm totally kidding. I can already tell this is an awesome discussion. We're hitting on some great points. So let's continue on with the immersion. Where else have you seen this kind of immersion in games that's been noticeable for you and notable?
Well, I wish I could have said I could have seen some more innovation on the PC side of things, but PC has kept it old school, you know? Their keyboard, mouse, and occasional controller kind of support, you know?
Yeah, and I don't think it's something that's ever really going to change, because a lot of PC gamers enjoy their platform, and the ones who don't will find a way to use a controller with it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's the immersion stuff is going to happen on the consoles, and unfortunately, the consoles don't reinvent themselves as quickly as PC does. So it's just unfortunate that there are no innovations, but like you said, it's not really the headspace for it to kind of happen.
No. And I don't want to say PC gamers are set in their ways, but what they have works well for them, and you don't see a lot of them complaining.
No I'm one of them too now, so man, yeah. I'm not complaining.
I mean, I PC game with my friends as well. I just need a better machine that could, you know, maybe run good games.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the immersion stuff. It's interesting to see like what we have done in the past generation. Now with this new generation, it doesn't look as hopeful. It looks like it was an experiment that they tried, and only one console really succeeded with it, which was the Wii. Now they've got their kind of pad on the Wii U there, and I don't know that it's really taking off the way they had hoped to.
No, but I think that's something that'll change once you have the heavy hitter titles and your AAA games for it. And by AAA, I mean Nintendo AAA games, so your Smash Bros. And I mean, Super Mario 3D World seems to be doing well, but it's going to take a while. I think as much as people complain about Nintendo doing the same thing over and over again, that's what sells their consoles.
And I the mean, same thing that they do is very innovative every time they do it.
Yeah, that's the thing is when I did my E3 episode, we talked about how it's Microsoft versus Sony, quote unquote, but Nintendo's off doing their own thing. And I think the reason Nintendo does so well is they keep to the side. They don't worry about what the competition's doing. They do their own thing, and they let the clientele come to them because they're interested in what Nintendo offers, and they know what Nintendo offers.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of my thought process on it.
Yeah. And the only competition that they have right now is, as far as the peripheral kind of goes, is this second screen implementation that everybody's raving about in their games, you know? So once that kind of happens on both consoles, then you'll start to see it kind of branch out a bit. And yeah, Nintendo's might be the better choice, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think that's the only thing that's holding them back. They've got their first party titles that they're creating built around this kind of device. But until the other consoles do, no third party title publisher is going to waste too much time or resources into developing something strictly for a platform.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
And I think one of the only titles that really has done that, and I think probably well, would have been the Arkham City version for the Wii U that came out.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that.
As have I. I mean, I need to pick up a Wii U at some point, but...
I'll hold out for Zelda.
Yeah, I would love to see a Zelda game or a Metroid game would make me happy.
Oh, where good... is Metroid? My God.
Samus has kind of gone to the wayside since... What was the last title that came out for...
Other M,
yeah, that was the one.
Wow. And
that one was poorly received from what I've heard.
Yeah, well, I don't know what they were thinking. They had, like, a trilogy of amazing games by one developer, and then they threw the developer to another project, and they haven't brought them back to what they do best.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I mean, I think they're the guys who went over to Donkey Kong Country. Am I not right on that?
Believe so, because I thought the ones who did Other M.
Yeah, Other M was not them.
No, but
that rhymed. That's horrible.
How easily amused. Like, you're talking the Prime series, right?
Yeah. So they it was the same developers for the Metroid Prime trilogy there, and then yeah, they went off to I believe it was Donkey Kong Country Returns or. And then they did Tropical Freeze or Tropical Punch, whatever it was called.
Yeah, Retro Studios. Mm-hmm. So they're working... They did the Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D for the 3DS. Yep. And then, yeah, Tropical Freeze is coming out next year for the Wii U, and they did that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a lot.
I mean, maybe that's where they want to go, and they want to breathe life into these old franchises. I know Square Enix is doing that with Deus Ex, and now Thief is coming out, you know, so...
Yeah.
If it's what... they want to do, then fine, that's cool, but man, how could you just let such a pedigree title just go by the wayside? I don't know.
It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. There's so much that can still be done with it,
mm-hmm.
and with the capabilities that you have in this generation, I mean, there's so much potential. It's begging to be used.
Absolutely. And we'll use that to jump onto the last innovation that I've got going on here.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a cop-out answer. I'm sorry.
That's totally cool.
But overall game design in the last generation has been amazing. And you want to talk about retro. Ah, see? There we go. Man, we were discussing this before we started jumping onto this podcast here. But the idea I used was the idea of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Now, we all know Spider-Man. He was bitten by a radioactive spider that turned him into the hero he is today that we know and love.
Mm-hmm.
But was it the radioactive or the spider that made him what he is? Was it the chicken or the egg? And there have been writers that have gone back to that very core of the character and expanded on it in multiple ways. So it reinvigorated a character by going to the very seeds of the guy, going to the roots of the character.
Yeah.
Same thing is going on with video games. People are going back to the very basics of video game design and mm-hmm. just using those things to explode in new and in exciting ways.
I think that's, for me, for what I've seen, I think that's a big reason a lot of the indie scene has blown up as big as it has lately.
Absolutely. You've got games, like we said, like Minecraft.
Yeah.
Very, very basic premise for a game design, but to its fullest potential. I don't think you would have ever seen that type of game until now. I don't think it would have been possible.
No.
You know? And just a couple of games that I've recently played through. One was today, of course.
Mm-hmm.
There was a game I tried a few weeks back called Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
I've heard about this game. Some friends of mine actually have some Let's Plays going on their YouTube channel for it. And it's a very interesting design and game. And you were talking a lot about the controls for it.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah. Because if you were just to watch it on the screen, you'd think, okay, yeah, it's a very charming kind of grim fairy tale kind of game. But the difference is when you get that controller in your hands, and both analog sticks are what control each of the characters.
Yeah.
It's a co-op single-player game. It's very weird. And I can't recall another game that has ever done this before.
No, I've never seen that because I was confused. I was actually watching them play it, and the two of them each took a half of the controller.
Oh, that's fun.
And it was very interesting to watch the dynamic of how that would actually play out, but yeah. it's such a cool control design.
Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where you just slap your head and you go, God, how come we've never done this before? You know?
So simple.
Yeah, and that's the brilliant thing about it. Again, just like Minecraft, it's just Lego. It's been there forever. Somebody's finally made a game of it, you know? Yeah, I mean, totally. Even Lego couldn't even do that.
No, Lego couldn't. They tried.
But they got their own thing, so they're doing all right.
It's okay. They just take other properties and make those properties fun Lego games.
Mm-hmm. And then the third game, which we discussed just before we started the show, was Thomas Was Alone.
Which I've yet to finish, but oh, man.
Oh, you'll love it. Don't you worry. My God.
Is there potential for tears in that?
Not so much tears, just a lot of goofy grinning and just aw shucks kind of nature with the whole thing.
Fair enough.
Yeah. It didn't hit me as hard as like some other indie games that, you know, just rip your heart out and shit down your throat and say, ha ha, you're a geek.
Yeah.
With feelings.
You feel. We win.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, that game, I mean, it's basically Tetris blocks going through a 2D space, but then you incorporate just a narrative over top of it that just makes you care about Tetris blocks and their feelings and their emotions and their motivations, you know?
I think it's all the narrator in that game. They picked the perfect voice to just to make you care.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think, it almost sounds like the same voice that they use for Stanley Parable.
Yeah, and that's another good example for game design.
That one is. Oh my God. I've only watched people play this game, but man, how entertaining. Have you played Stanley Parable?
I did. I played about 4 hours of the game, and I never ended it the same way twice.
That's awesome. So how many endings do you think you did?
Oh God, I hit at least 8 within the 4 hours. Because then after a while, you get used to like the basic idea of what to do.
Yeah.
But the crazy thing is that narrator, there it is, he calls you on your bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, he'll be like, Stanley woke up and he's going down, oh, fuck it, you know what's going on. It's just, you're freaked out because you're like, oh my God.
Don't Deadpool me, man. This isn't cool.
I know. It was so weird that way. And that's another thing. Like, the game design for that is just incredible. Like, the premise of, like, the Matrix thing, where it's like, do you take the red pill or the blue pill? And where does that lead you? And then it leads you off into these other situations where you got to make the green or the orange pill. And then that goes off. And holy crap, the people who think of these games, man.
And like, what I can appreciate about that is the sense of wonderment that you have, because you don't know where it ends.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you go and look it up online, you're like, maybe there's more. And that could keep you coming back forever.
Yes.
Or there's certain things that happen, like if you do a certain event for a specific amount of time, maybe you get something out of that. Or is this ending really the true ending? There's so many possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And that, as far as game design, just that is absolutely fascinating to me.
Oh, yeah.
And watch, like I said, for that game, I was watching someone play it, and I'm sitting there going, well, maybe, does that happen? Could it happen? I don't know. I want to know. How am I going to find out? Shit. Yeah.
And what's crazy is that you might, like, play the game, and you'll go in, and you're like, okay, so this is going to happen, and then you'll just do one minuscule little thing different, and it'll change the entire outcome for you. It's just nuts.
and then you get genuine experience out of it. And you're like, but there's more?
Yeah.
It's just the ways the games have, game developers have found to pull us in and keep us engaged for such extensive periods of time, whether it be amazing level design, whether it be a fantastic narrative, or just addictive nature to the games, is something that I still have trouble comprehending.
Yeah. And you will still see like so many things, and that's what I love about being a gamer at this time, is that you will see people take tried and true methods. Like, for a very broad example, you take multiplayer, okay? Any kind of multiplayer game, you kind of know what to expect going into it, be it Call of Duty or even God of War. You're in there, you're going fighting against other guys, you kill everything in sight, you be the number one on top.
Yeah.
Then you get a game like Demon's Souls or Dark Souls. And multiplayer in there is so vastly different from everything else.
Yeah, that's got to be one of the most unique multiplayer experiences.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if your listeners don't know what the experience is like, it's two parts. Number one, players can leave you little hints or tell you lies within the game so you know what to expect or fall into a trap. There's also the ability, I believe you can play co-op with friends if you're lucky, but there is the ability to invade other players' games and like be the devil and just chase them down and hunt them. So they're playing a balls out hard as nails game. And on top of that, they've got some stalker pretty much running through the game, trying to find them and kill them, you know? Yeah. So that is just a brilliant way to do multiplayer. And they're coming up with different ways to do it all the time.
Yeah. And I mean, who knows what else we're going to see in this next generation.
Oh, exactly.
Ugh.
Oh, and this just kind of came to my head.
Oh,
one amazing thing about the game design possibilities that are out there for us is the idea that they've given us the tools to create our own thing, you know? Like, the first time I ever saw it, and maybe other people have done it before, but the first time I personally saw it was in Halo 3, where they gave you a map editor and all the tools to make your own thing.
Yeah.
You know, you can argue that Minecraft did the same thing, of course. You know, but you see it in games like Infamous. You see it on Steam, where they have the Steam community there. Man, last time I played Skyrim, I don't think I had a single piece of clothing or weapon or anything that wasn't custom made by some user out there. I was playing entire like quests that were just based on somebody who just made their own thing, you know?
That totally reminds me of when I used to play Counter-Strike, going and finding cool badass skins to throw over the weapons just because I thought it was awesome, and it for me it just changed my experience. So yeah, man, what else we got to talk about?
One last thing.
Yes, this is the surprise that I've been kind of waiting for, and I'm curious.
I was surprised because you mentioned it already.
I have.
The worst innovation to happen to gaming in this last generation? Microtransactions.
Yes, all right. I can talk about this.
The whole DLC, pay-to-win, free-to-play shenanigans that are going on, man. I just think it's the worst thing to ever hit us.
Do you think there's anything positive that can really come out of it?
I think one of the positive things out of those ones there is probably the DLC.
Okay.
But it has to be done right, and it's so rarely done right. A good example, I would say, from what I've heard, is the way Bioshock Infinite has done their DLC, where they release the game, they question their community what they would want to see, and then they developed some DLC for it afterwards. That's the way you should go about it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, is that how Burial at Sea came about?
Yep.
See, and Burial at Sea, when I didn't realize that, and when I'd seen the trailer, I was like, yeah, I want to play this because this looks so cool.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is I never really played through Bioshock 1 or 2, so I don't really know much about Rapture, but I know that looks awesome.
Play through 1. Don't worry about 2.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've been told. I've got it on, I'd started it on the PS3 and because it was a free download for Plus, so I need to go back and actually finish it, but
That is probably, like, if you dig story as much as I do, that's one game that will just totally mess you up and throw you sideways.
Yeah, Infinite was Infinite was amazing. So, I mean, if one is as, I'm sure it's better.
Infinite, the game design, the look and everything, that's probably better.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's probably because of age. I mean, when did Bioshock 1 come out? 2006
or 7, I think.
7, yeah. 7 sounds right.
Yeah. And the storyline and just the whole flow of the game still stands up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty decent. But yeah, the microtransaction kind of thing, just this whole thing where it's quite obvious when developers go, oh, you know what? We'll just take this chunk out of the game that was already there to begin with, and we'll sell it at a later date kind of thing.
Yeah, that's not right, because, I mean, if you're going to sell me a game, give me everything from the get-go and give me more later.
Yeah, Capcom is pretty bad for that. Where it's just they sell you an unlock key. So the stuff is already there. You've bought it. It's on disc. But you don't have access to it until you pay an extra fee.
That's even worse, is when you put it there literally at my fingertips when I'm holding the game, but I can't access it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, it's frustrating for me. It's just...
Oh, I can see it. Remember, you're on video.
That's right. Yeah, you can see this all. It's just... I don't understand the thought process that goes behind it. I mean, yes, I understand you want to make money, but I think in the long run, you're going to be damaging your business by doing this to your consumer base.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they going to want to keep buying your games if they know they're going to get nickeled and dimed?
Yeah, exactly.
It just... Logic would dictate that if a company is going to do that to me, I'm probably not going to deal with that company anymore.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of nickeled and dimed, pay to win.
Man, no.
The latest I've seen it, thankfully I haven't fallen victim to it, but the latest I've seen it kind of rear its ugly head was in Plants vs. Zombies 2.
Yeah, and I was talking to someone about that, because I actually haven't downloaded it yet. I didn't realize. I know it's on Android, but I didn't realize. I'm not sure if it's just tablets or if it's for any Android device at this point.
Mm.
So I need to get that. But I was asking someone who's playing. I was like, can you get through the game without having to buy any extra characters, I guess you'll call them?
You do have to spend quite a lot of more... Quite a lot of more.
Quite a lot of more. I like that.
Yeah. Quite a bit more time slogging through some places. Because I'm pretty much done the first world, so to speak. Mm. And to get out of there, you need to use a certain currency of stars, I think they are, to go to the next world.
Okay.
But by the time you've gone through all the levels, you don't have enough. So you got to replay all the other ones to collect these stupid star things. Once you get about 20, then you can move on. Or... you can buy the stars for like $5 or $10, whatever it is, and then you can just progress, you know? So it's not technically forcing you to do it, and you don't need to pay a single thing to play through the whole game, but they do give you hurdles.
I think it's probably more the process that you have to go through is, are you going to get to a point where you just say, fuck it, I just want to pay and get this out of the way and be done with it?
Mm-hmm.
Which... for me, I think that detracts from a game's experience. If I get so frustrated that I just want to pay my way to the next level, I probably shouldn't play.
Yeah. And then there's the free-to-play model, which is also Plants vs. Zombies.
Mm-hmm.
But it, there are so many free-to-play games that are coming out right now that they almost design it to be extremely frustrating to the point where you feel like you won't have any fun unless you do spend money on it.
Yeah.
You know? Which, if that's the case, just put a price tag on the damn thing. Mm-hmm. You know? Don't beat around the bush. Don't tell me like you're going to give me this free amazing experience, but that's restricted, like to the point where you can't even jump or you can't even like run or sprint, you know? Yeah. That's an unlockable feature that you can pay for, you know? That is the stupidest thing I have ever heard of.
Because, I mean, I don't know if you're the same way, but if you use free to play to get me in, if I'm not enjoying the experience, I'm going to stop playing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spend money right away. That's the farthest thought from my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And
I've yet to see a free to play game that makes good on its word. And I get the idea behind it, where it's like, well, yeah, we're giving you this free to play, but you know what? We gotta make money off this thing.
Yeah.
So I get that, but you know, just don't sell it to me as one thing and then start asking for something afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for a lot of free to play games, how I feel about it is, if you're gonna charge me things, make it be aesthetics. Make it just be for a look for something that doesn't actually make me pay for my experience, but rather for customization.
Yeah. Like, I could see, like, a whole bunch of fanboys. Like, you have a Star Wars game. Say The Old Republic.
Which okay? I own. It is fun.
Yep.
But
for sure. The little bit of time that I spent on it, it was a good time. Mm-hmm. Except for when a couple of avatars came up to me and started, you know, molesting my character. But that's a whole other topic we can talk about.
We can save that for another episode.
Yeah, exactly. But that, like, I could see so many people plunking down a bunch of change just to have them look like Mace Windu with like a dual wielded, you know, purple lightsaber that shoots out like fairy dust or something, you know, like people go nuck and futz for that kind of stuff.
They totally do.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the difference, is that you're selling them things that you know they would want. Like Star Wars people go crazy for anything Star Wars.
If it can make you feel like you're part of the universe more so than you already do. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Absolutely.
But when you're taking away core fundamentals, like if you want to turn your head, pay us $5, you know? Yeah,
if you want to look to the left and see that Rancor, it's going to come kill you. Well, $5, man. Pay up.
Or if we're being more realistic, take, for example, The War Z. It was a zombie game that was supposed to come out like before the DayZ standalone and everything. And it came out, and it was just mutilated because you would die in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And then you would have like maybe a half hour wait time before you could respawn, or you could pay to respawn instantly. If you were sucker enough to pay that, you would die instantly again. Oh, look at that. You want to pay again to do this? And it was just the worst scam in video game history as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I remember seeing all of the uproar about that game, and it was just like, okay. So note to self, don't buy that game.
Yeah, I was lucky and unfortunate. I had a friend of mine who has been on my show quite a number of times. He bought it for me because we're both zombie geeks. Mm-hmm. And then we get the whole message about what was happening and how trashy it is and all this kind of stuff. And I feel bad because he spent money on me.
Yeah, these things happen.
Yeah,
unfortunate circumstances, right?
But to end this on a high note, the microtransaction stuff and all of the stuff that we just complained about, it is so rare in our video games nowadays that it's just a blip. It's just something to kind of balance the scales, because everything else we talked about, they are so positive for our industry and our gaming love affair that we've got going on here. You know?
Totally, man. I couldn't agree more. Well, I mean, I think on that note, we should probably wrap this one up, because this has been quite the extensive chat, and I think we've gotten a lot of good points in.
Sweet.
So for the people listening who don't know about you, where can they find you, all that fun stuff?
If you hit up YouTube, you can check out Deep Seated Geek. That's spelled deep, of course. Seated is like the plant seed, because I didn't use spell correct when I chose my name. But I like it. It has like a rooted kind of feeling. It's also, well, if you want to think about seeds in a sexual way, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
So Deep-Seated Geek. I've got a year's worth of videos you guys can check out. They're always topical, like what we're doing with Jordan here on the podcast. And yeah, if all goes according to plan, you'll probably see Jordan's face pop up quite a bit on my channel there. So there you go.
Exactly. And I'm going to throw a link to it, because you can already see my face on his show, because I was in for his awesome monthly hangout, and we talked about, you know, some consoles.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of PS4 and a lot of Xbox One and a little bit of Wii U in there.
Yeah, we threw the dog bone.
It was a lot of fun. So yeah, I'm going to link that on this episode's page. So check that out after. And if you got some time, I mean, it's about 2.5 hours. So grab a drink, grab some popcorn, and sit down and enjoy the show.
Yeah, a lot of laughs.
Do you have a Twitters that people can follow?
I do. Same kind of deal. At Deep-Seated Geek, all one word. Facebook, you can even send me a message there. I don't mind. Jason Brasher, B-R-A-S-H-E-R. And yeah, if you guys got things on your mind that you think I should be discussing or games I should be playing or anything like that, fire me a message. I always respond to people.
Awesome. That is fantastic, man. Well, it has been a blast having you on the show. I appreciate you coming on and having me on your show. It's nice to have that exchange go back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. I love this, man. And like I said before the show, open invite. Anytime you want to come on the show, you're more than welcome.
You shoot me a text and I will most likely be there.
Awesome.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. As always, be sure to hit me up on Twitter. It's at @boom_headshot, H-E-A-D-S-H-0-T. And check out everything Boom at boomheadshotpod.com. If you guys want to be a guest, feel free to email me or shoot me a message on Twitter, Facebook, all those fun stuff. For this week, I'm Jordan Thompson, and thanks again to Jason for joining me.
Boom! Headshot!
Till next week, guys, keep those sights lined and keep making those headshots. Boom,
headshot. The king of the ring when I'm in the arena, cause I'm beating everybody like when I beat Tina. I can throw down with the campus mentality, the gloves putting stops to your whole camp's reality. Sticky bombs flying all over the place. If I find your body, you know I'm humping your face. Duck walking with my heavy machine gun. The words on your screen, you were killed by Z1. Yeah, come and run my direction. I don't give a damn if you got double protection. It's a fatal attraction. I'm way fatality, place quake and not red faction. Posted on a rock, sniper rifle in hand. Your forehand's in sight, all according to plan. Breathe wrong, homie, and you might get caught. Everybody in the room's gonna hear what I got, cause it's a
boom headshot, boom headshot. I'm still getting the hot, it's like boom headshot, boom headshot, boom headshot. I'm still getting the hot, it's like
around your area, becoming so nefarious. Necessary to be wearing, you should be afraid of us. Got you in the sights of my rifle scope. Better take a look around before your head explodes. Taking the show on the road, see the victims light up. Better watch where you go, or your mic can shot up. Better pack your grenades if you step into us. A frantic creature with a body, see them piling up. I take a real sick pleasure out of watching them fall. Rockets and grenades, I shot a free-for-all. About to whip out my sickness, get my opinion. Climb up to the top and start snapping at your best friend. It takes 10 men to stop me, here I'm coming. In the battle mode, I keep on running and gunning. Zealous and be fair, y'all better be scared. Don't care if you respond, I still be caving out to be there with them.
Boom headshot, boom headshot.
Your 9-3 chumps in the line.
Wait, I'm low on ammo, but I still got my 9. Need to reach a high level for I'm truly effective.
Killing off pros and noobs, non-selective.
True that, yeah. Okay, I'm ready to go.
Sticky bombs in my hand, pop tops and throw. Yo, my railgun's tracking everyone in my sector.
Hey, yo, I'm in position, let me give you the vector.
The coordinates match with the blips on my map.
Word to that, okay, let's set up this track. Selling noobs in to be like bait.
Brain matter will splatter, all according to fate.
Yeah, there's no doubt, look like they found my landmine.
It's all good, now I got my snipe sights line. This is easy like aiming at Tyra Banks.
Making shots so accurate, they're taking down tanks.
Boom headshot, boom headshot. Still getting the hot, like boom headshot. Boom headshot, boom headshot. Still getting the hot, like boom headshot. Boom headshot, boom headshot. Still getting the hot, like boom headshot. Boom headshot, boom headshot. Still getting the hot, like boom headshot.
Yeah, B Bear Zealous 1. Uh-oh, turn around. Whoops, too late. Boom.